Well, there's good news and bad news for women in the workplace. The good news, there are many more women in high-level positions. The bad news, on average, women still earn 23% less than their male counterparts. Joining us to take a look at how structural policies and laws have changed women's access to equal pay, income security, and credit, and what needs to happen to level that playing field are Judy Ansel. She's director of the Institute for Labor Studies at UMKC. Judy, welcome back. Good
to
have
you. Hi, Steve. It's nice to be here.
Erica Ramirez is also here. She's Assistant Vice President and Community Affairs Officer at the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. Erica, nice to have you too.
Good afternoon.
And finally, Jacqueline Michael Midkiff is here. She's a regional economist with the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And Jacqueline, good morning to you.
Thank you.
Well, Judy, we've been talking about the issue for a long time in this country. In fact, you've been talking about it since the 1970s. How big an issue does it remain today, and why can't we solve it?
Boy, that's a big question.
20
Steve.
Words or less, Judy, go. You're on.
Yeah. Well, why is it such a big issue? Because more and more women are supporting families.
Yeah.
And women are the greatest number of people in women and children are the greatest number of people in poverty. So the pay gap, that's the gap between men's and women's earnings, is a significant factor for our communities and our government. And why can't we solve it? Well, because it's built into, you know, several thousand years of history, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many structural inequalities. Women don't work the same jobs as men. A great number of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so job segregation by gender means that women are stuck in jobs that historically have paid far less.
You know, Erica, this strikes me as one of those issues that it feels like laws get passed, Congress responds, state legislatures respond, and here we are with you three still talking about this issue today. How surprising is it to you that we're still dealing with this stuff?
Well, Steve, you know, that's the great question. And before I respond, I have to just state that these are my own personal views and opinions.
Sure.
And don't represent those of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City or
sure.
the Federal Reserve System.
Yeah.
You know, I think as we think about what's transpired over history, you know, there just was a huge change in, you know, the 70s and definitely the early 80s with a tremendous number of women moving into the workplace, you know, kind of for the first time.
Yeah.
And a lot of the education that was available, you know, a lot of women did not start getting into higher education until the late 60s when, you know, they passed a lot of the Title IX and, you know, a lot of those different legislations. And I think a big part of it now when you look at educational attainment is beginning in 2005, you had a greater number of females graduating with 4-year bachelor's degree than men. And that trend has continued. And so while you do have more and more women earning these professional degrees, women have been in the workforce for such a shorter period of time that I think it takes time for
That's
different policies to really catch up to society and where things are.
You know, there's also this notion that the fact that there's a pay gap has consequences for women, and those consequences are what?
So there's definitely a lot of consequences going off of what Judy talked about. You know, when women are not earning as much as men and they are single-parent households and they're responsible for their families, they're having to do a lot more with less. And so that affects their ability to build assets, their ability to build wealth, their ability to really plan for their future and their retirement.
Yeah. Jacqueline, the stats from your organization, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, are pretty revealing. In the U.S. in 2012, full-time working women earned 81% of what men earned. Let me say that again. Full-time working women earned 81% of what men earned. In 79, going back a few years, they earned 62%. And I guess that's good news in some ways, right? I hope, kind of, sort of.
Right. We've certainly made significant strides
yes.
towards pay equality or making as much as men make.
But when you're starting from such a low place, what does that say? Yeah.
Right. Mm. That's true. And in Missouri, we're a little less than that. We're at 78.5%.
And both Missouri and Kansas are below the national average, I should point out. I looked at your numbers last night. Why would that be, do you think?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know.
We're the heartland. We're out here in the middle.
We are. But, you know, when you look at the heartland, Nebraska is actually at 84.2%.
Ahead of the national average.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa's fairly close to the national. It's a little less.
Mm-hmm. You also point out, Jacqueline, that the median weekly earnings for women who work part-time, this is interesting to me, were more than for men who work part-time. I'm wondering, why would that be? Because that seems to fly in the face of the other stats you're laying out here today.
Right. Well, as we said, full-time women make about 81% of what men make, but part-time women, compared to part-time men, we make about 104%. So we actually make more when we work part-time than a man does. One of the reasons for that, you know, I don't have the exact reasons. I don't know for sure.
Sure, it's tough stuff. Yeah,
something that came to my mind was that there are certain occupations that are part-time that pay very well, such as PRN, like part-time registered nurses. Those are predominantly female. So that would be a part-time job that females are in, and it pays very well. So that could kind of ratchet up that percentage for us.
Yeah. And finally, there are some occupations where full-time women earn more than their male counterparts, just in the same way you were talking about part-timers. What are those occupations, Jacqueline, as you look at all this?
Right. Well, there are two ways to look at this comparison, and you can look at the overall earnings of men versus women, but you can also look more apples to apples and look at one occupation and men and women in that same occupation. And as you said, there are occupations that women make more, and a couple of those are counselors and pharmacists.
And again, why? Any feel for that?
Again, I don't know the why behind it.
Yeah, the why is – so, Judy, do you have any theories on why this would be?
Well, the only theory I've seen that has any credibility is that in certain professional jobs, and pharmacists would be one of them, there's a flexibility so that women don't fall off the wage scale or wage escalation scale because of leaving for a while to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not true for a lot of other professional occupations like lawyers or doctors, where the wage gap is really pretty significant.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you work 80, 90 hours a week, you're going to make more money as a professional. But with pharmacists, it isn't that way. There's more flexibility. And in fact, you know, the question may be not so much, you know, why do we have these few exceptions, but why aren't more employers understanding that women deserve to be able to both have – women and men deserve to be able to both have families and be able to advance in their careers? And why don't we structure our workplaces in a different way to accommodate families?
You know, Judy, again, as I introduced you today, we talked a little bit about the fact that you've been focused on this for very many years. How frustrated are you that we are where we are? I mean, do you have any sense of satisfaction that we've made some progress, or are you just so balled up with frustration here, given these numbers today that we're talking about, that you almost can't see straight? Where do you fall there?
Well, you know, when I look at what the economy and society was like when I joined the workforce back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I look at what women have to encounter today, there's huge gains that we've made. You know, I wouldn't have my job as director of a labor studies program 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just went to men. Okay. But there's so many jobs that have opened up for women. But also, you know, I remember applying for jobs and, you know, having to pass tests that men didn't have to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1978, I was working in a factory. And I bid on a job. I had the seniority. It was a union job. I had the seniority to get that job. And it was denied me and given to a guy who had less time because I was a woman. And then I had to take both a strength test and
a
competency
test,
which both of which I passed in order to be able to get that job. It was frankly just discrimination and illegal, but they were doing it. That was in like 1979.
So you had to do like pull-ups, or what are you talking about here?
No, I had to. I was a lathe operator, and I had to chuck in a part, and and they hid the cheater bar, which is what you use to tighten up something, you know, and all the guys were standing around with their arms crossed looking at me and laughing, you know, while I passed this test. You know, first thing I did is I said, where's the cheetah bar? You know, because anybody can do it with moderate strength.
Erica, I'm guessing at the Fed you didn't have to do any pull-ups to get your job
No, I definitely did not.
That was a different era, a different time.
Yeah.
You know, when you were talking a little bit ago about this notion that the pay gap has consequences for women, do you think a lot of women understand that? Or is this, you know, the kind of financial literacy information they need to sort of make better judgments, better decisions here?
So I think it's a couple of things. I think one, definitely financial education in, you know, starting at a very early age really helps people, particularly women, understand what are the strategies and the tools that they can implement to begin to build assets, begin to work on their credit and build their credit. So that's a component of it. I think the other component is really, you know, up to individual women. So there's definitely that stereotype that women are not good at negotiating and that women have a tendency. I've read lots of studies that talk about women having a tendency that when they're offered a job and they're offered a starting salary, that the women automatically say, great, I'll take it. To where men have a greater tendency to come back and really negotiate. And so I think you're starting to see some shift with, you know I have friends my age who they're female and they love to negotiate. I mean, that's they do it better than their male partners.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that there's definitely just more emphasis on that. And I think oftentimes the stereotypes associated with women, we may tend to fall into those.
That's interesting. Jacqueline, you know, I want to make sure that everyone understands what we're on the same page here. I mean, side by side, are you saying that two equally qualified people in the same job for the same length of time means that in many cases the man makes more? That's where we are here today, right?
Well, kind of. When we're talking about just, for instance, pharmacists, we're talking about that occupation overall. And so women do make more than men in that occupation, but we're not necessarily looking at the exact same qualifications. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there are more highly qualified women in that job than there are men. So we're not comparing the experience level. There can be differences there that factor into it.
Right. Let me get our listeners engaged here and get them involved in our conversation. I just to get a feel for what people are thinking out there. How do our women listeners feel about what they're hearing today about the fact they're still being not making as much money as their male counterparts? 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Again, 816-235-2888. Judy, you talked a little earlier about the history here. Walk us through some of that history that has brought us to where we are today. Give us a few highlights there.
Well, first off, I just want to say something about what Jacqueline just said. I went to the Anita Hill program last night, which
terrific.
Was fabulous.
Yeah, she was. We talked to her last week. Yeah,
and I was sitting behind a woman who told me she just retired from a big Kansas City company. She was a supervisor, and she made $35,000 less a year than a guy she supervised.
Hmm.
And I said, why didn't you do something about it? And she said, well, I didn't want to get fired. You know, and I think people can remember the Lilly Ledbetter case of not too long ago. And hopefully she's been on your show. I don't know.
She has.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, this is a woman who worked for years, decades for a company and was systematically discriminated against in management. Now, you know, the thing is, unionization is like one of the major ways that women can bridge the wage gap. Because under union contracts, it just doesn't exist.
And the stats from the Bureau show that there is a much narrower disparity than we're seeing otherwise here.
Right.
Yeah.
It about halves the wage gap for women if they belong to unions. And union women make 13% more than unorganized women do. So that's a significant thing. As far as the history is concerned, you know, starting in 1964, when they passed the Civil Rights Act, for the first time, this kind of discrimination became illegal. The Equal Pay Act was passed in 1965. The problem with that is, you know, that makes a huge difference. But the problem is that, as I said before, we work in a segregated job market, and most people don't work jobs exactly equal to men. And so...
Meaning what?
Well, you know, like... a janitor's job, for instance, you know, let's take a secretary's job. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, 90% or so of secretaries are women. Okay. Now, they may have comparable education and work comparably hard to somebody who's a janitor or somebody who's a ditch digger. You know, there may be different physical exercise or involved, but the jobs are valued very differently. And they're valued very differently because of a lot of things. Flat-out discrimination and lack of unionization. And a variety of other things, and so that secretarial jobs are valued much lower. How do you have? How do you make an equal pay case when there aren't any men even around?
Mm-hmm.
And so, unless we have an integration of the workforce and more job opportunities for women in male-dominated fields, we're not going to be able to, you know, use the Equal Pay Act to the extent that we should be able to. That's why there's something called comparable worth, where you evaluate jobs on education, training, skills, effort, and then you come up with an equivalency.
Yeah. Again, to poke a question on the table here, are you making the same amount as your male counterparts? So why or why not? Can you even find out? Again, our number, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or tweet us at KCUR, up to date. Erica, what about this idea? You know, we just mentioned in the poke to our listeners, this idea of how are women even supposed to be able to find out in a society that keeps this information typically so much under wraps? People don't know what other people are making. How are women, or even men for that matter, supposed to find out if they're being paid what they should be being paid?
Sure. So there are a lot of different research elements and data sets that you can look at. And, you know, sometimes people go out and self-disclose. It's anonymous. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Jacqueline, her organization really has great online tools that allow individuals to go out there and you can enter what metropolitan area, what kind of job, and it will give you kind of the median salary for that particular position. And so I think you can definitely use that as a starting point when you're thinking about, you know, your position. But I think the other aspect people sometimes need to think about is it's very rare for two people to always have the exact same level of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I just look at myself. You know, I work in an organization with many individuals that have similar educational backgrounds, bachelor's, master's degrees, MBAs, but we've all taken such different career paths and we've have different experiences, different technical expertises. So while the education is the same, we've gotten to where we are differently, and different skill sets, different knowledge do pay differently.
Yeah. Jacqueline, what can the Bureau of Labor Statistics show a woman or a man about what kind of pay range they should be looking at? And where do you get your information to begin with?
Well, as Erica said, we have something called the Occupational Employment Statistics Survey, and it publishes not only median wages by occupation, by area, but it also publishes a range. So we get the 10th percentile, 25th, 50th, 75th, and 90th. So what you can do is you can pull up your occupation in your area. You can look at those percentile ranges and see if you have recently graduated from college. Well, you're probably going to be somewhere more down towards that 10%, 25%. If you have 30 years of experience, you know you probably want to be up in that 75% range. So it gives someone an idea of what the average is, so then they can analyze their own wage that they're getting and see if they're in the ballpark. So that can really help women both when they're doing job interviews and determining, you know, what to negotiate.
Yeah.
Or just analyzing where they're at right now.
And you get your information where?
Well, the Occupational Employment Statistics Survey is collected by the states. The federal government kind of oversees it so that all the states collect it in the same manner.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that information from companies. It's
okay.
A survey of companies.
Let's go to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. Katie from the Waldo area, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I wanted to say that my personal experience shows me all these many years later, I'm retired now, showed me that I didn't know how to get equal pay. I think women need to be rehearsed, go through mock interviews, and learn how to handle this particular job world activity.
Erica, I think you were making a similar point a little while ago.
Yeah, you know, again, I think a lot of it comes down to just long historical stereotypes that have existed. And, you know, because women did not start entering, for the most part, the workforce until, you know, the 60s and definitely the 70s and 80s when you saw their numbers really increase, you know, that brings with it a lot of learning that women are still going through, to where women are, you know, really starting to recognize. And a lot of it is you learn from your role models, you learn from your mentors, you learn from people that are doing that. And if there hasn't been a lot of women in those positions, then there's not anyone for you to model yourself after.
Mm-hmm. Katie, what was your experience that you didn't have the experience in negotiating that you'd wished you had?
My experience was to avoid responsibility at the higher levels because I already had heavy family responsibilities. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons. I didn't anticipate that I would be offered the job, but somebody lobbied for me to get the job as they left. And so I was received into the process for an equal pay type of a job.
Yeah.
But I was so busy resisting it, because it wasn't my choice of what to do with my days. I wanted to go back to my
right
responsibilities that I already had rather than go up into the employment responsibility.
Katie, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. I need to move on. Just a couple minutes left here. Alice from Kansas City, Missouri. Alice, you're on Up to Date.
Yes, my question is, can an employer fire you for asking or sharing your salary?
That's a great question. Judy, fire away.
Yeah. Well, if you are covered by the National Labor Relations Act, which means you're not supervisory, no. You have the right to talk about wages with anybody you want. It's part of our rights to what's called concerted activities.
But we don't do that, though, in this society, do we?
Well, we're told. I remember working for an employer. First rule was never tell anybody how much you make.
Yeah, right.
First rule I broke was tell everybody how much I make and ask them. Because how can workers find out whether or not they're being paid fairly if they don't talk to other workers? And I tell everybody, you know, ask and tell. It's not it shouldn't be private.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, if it is connected to wage discrimination because of race or gender,
right,
then if you're retaliated against, that would be illegal as well.
You know, Judy, what would have happened back in the 70s or in going into the 80s if the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, had passed? Would that have changed or affected all this or not really?
You know, I don't really know the answer to that. I'm not a lawyer. But the laws we have on the books, as far as discrimination, are pretty good. The problem is proving it. And that's, you know, you gotta actually be able to prove why it is or what the motivation is behind it. And that's very difficult for people to do.
You know, and if somebody is frustrated out there with their situation, they think they're not being paid what they should be being paid, a woman not being paid as much as a man, they should do what?
Good question. Well, I think one of the things they can do is talk to the wage and hour division of the U.S. Department of Labor, call the U.S. Department of Labor Women's Bureau, and find out more about their rights. They're welcome to call my office, which is 816-235-1470.
Okay, we are out of time. What a good conversation. Judy Ansel, Director of the Institute for Labor Studies at UMKC, Erica Ramirez with the Fed, and Jacqueline Michael Midkiff, a regional economist with the U.S. Bureau of Labor Stats. And good to have you all. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks.
Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.